Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Push button to call in, and you get me on the phone, 855-212-4227. It is Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes, the question. Eventually, I'm going to have to move on to something else, so I'll get to as many of you as possible on CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Let's go to Thaddeus in Illinois. Thaddeus, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Robin, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I just want to start off with, I think both of these guys are generational talents. Wouldn't you agree with that?
100%. That's why the question's being asked.
The great thing is there, it's two completely styles of offense, where you have the old school West Coast offense chucking the ball and Pat Mahomes, and this new style run pass option offense and Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I have to lean towards Jackson for this, just because not only is his running ability incredible and defenses are scrambling to try and figure it out, but he's incredibly accurate at the same time. I mean, 5 touchdown passes on Thursday night, that's kind of hard to look past. Another thing is he's kind of showing the way for maybe the future of the NFL in a sense. Like, coaches are going to start looking for these quarterbacks that have both options. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's already started to happen. Like I said before, I think it's becoming a prerequisite for the quarterback to be able to move and run. Soon, at some point in the not-too-distant future, I think you might see the extinction of the pure pocket passer, that's all they can do. I think this started in college, where the college offenses started going in this direction. I think the stereotypes have been broken down, and I think you see the best athletes playing quarterback. Not to say you can't still be mainly a pocket passer, but the pocket passer who can't move. You know, it's hard to say that so definitively, I guess, the way I have, because of the success of the Bradys and Mannings of the world. And Tom Brady's still doing it at a high level, but we know Brady does it within that Patriots system, and he and Belichick have perfected. I think ideally when teams are identifying talent that they want to bring in, the QBs are going to have mobility. That's going to be a common ability. Tony in Durham, North Carolina. Tony, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
I got a couple of points I want to make about both of them, because I like both of them completely. The difference I see between, like, Patrick knows when to run. Lamar knows how to run. That's the first point I want to make. And Patrick has been injured 3 times this year. First, it was with his ankles. Knee kicked around. He played through that. Then his knee. He lost 3 games behind that. Then his hand. He played through that. So I'm concerned about that, too, as far as he's concerned.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's funny. I brought this up earlier. The wisdom tells you that Patrick Mahomes could play longer because he didn't take the hits, but he's the one that's been hurt, not Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. And the third point I wanted to make was the AFC South is seeming to figure him out, except for the Jaguars. I don't think they played him yet. The Titans have beat him, the Texans have beat him, and the Colts kept him from even throwing the touchdown pass.
Yeah, I don't know if he's been figured out so much because, again, I think he's been hurt. I think he's been hurt. He hasn't been quite the same guy. But meanwhile, Kansas City's 9-4, right? Quietly, Kansas City's 9-4. They could be just as good as anybody. They just went to Foxborough and won. They beat the Ravens earlier this year. You know, Mahomes threw for 374 yards in that game, beat the Ravens. I mean, they played some games without Mahomes, of course, lost one of those, and he's been banged up. So when he fresh into an injury, fresh off an injury, it's not going to be quite the same. That Tennessee game you referenced, he threw for 446 yards in that game. So I don't know how much they figured him out. Almost 500 yards passing. Let's go to Nick in Buffalo. Nick, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Nick?
Not much. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm pretty good. First, I guess I'd like to say, like, a lot of both these quarterbacks' success has to do with the coaching. I mean, both of those coaches knew what to do with the talent that they had and did it really, really well.
No doubt.
But all things being equal between Mahomes and Jackson, I think most coaches would prefer a style like Mahomes over Lamar Jackson. Not too many coaches can do what Harbaugh's doing. I mean, there's like five teams around the league that can, like Pete Carroll, and even the Buffalo Bills. They do that with Josh Allen, but not too many would prefer that kind of a mobile quarterback. So I'd have to say that Mahomes is a little bit better, only because that's I think where most coaches would lean towards.
I think at this point, again, that's why I've been saying conventional wisdom, but Lamar Jackson defies convention in a lot of ways. And again, I think you're going to start seeing more and more searching for guys that can do what Jackson does or close to it, or at least can do what Mahomes does and rolling out. So, I mean, the Daniel Jones is an example. He can run. Josh Allen, you just mentioned, he's an example. He can run. He's taken at the top of the draft. I mean, Josh Allen's number one asset is his athleticism. Number one. You look at everything else about him, his arm strength, I guess, was the other one. But he had the same accuracy questions. But, you know, Allen is a guy who can really, really take off and run. First round pick. For that reason, people questioned, you know, him accuracy and all that. He wasn't as widely known a prospect at first. But he's a big, strong dude who can really, really motor. Amon in Vancouver, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
What's going on, man? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Personally, being a Niners fan, I seen the past and I saw how Colin Kaepernick played and I saw him play under Greg Roman and then he didn't do so well once Greg left. My question to you is, Lamar Jackson plays under Greg Roman at the moment. Do you think without Greg Roman's creativity of an offense that Lamar Jackson could keep up that level of play and excellence?
Well, I think circumstances play into everything, right? And the better the circumstances, the better you're going to be. And that goes for Lamar Jackson. But the talent is obvious. I mean, that it's easier to be creative with him because of his speed and what he can do. So, sure, the other factors amplify it. The coaching, the talent around you, all that stuff amplifies it. But none of that would exist without Lamar Jackson. So is he in a good spot? Yes. Is he in an advantageous spot? Of course. Could it get worse if things were different? Yes. But is his talent undeniable? Obviously. Jeff in Dallas. Jeff, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, boss. Well, I have 2 points, but everyone, I'm definitely Lamar Jackson. I mean, okay. No disrespect to Pat, Lamar's made us kind of forget. And the one common theme I keep hearing a little bit is with this mobile quarterback stuff that everyone's talking about, it appears that Daniel Jones, Mitch Trubisky, Josh Allen, and not by you, but by these media people, they get applauded for athleticism, but yet we as fans and callers don't want to necessarily guarantee Lamar Jackson more money than Mahomes because he might get hurt. But, and then I'll let you get on that, but here's one point too. We all agree that Belichick is the king. Belichick is the dragon that everybody has to slay. Belichick's 3 losses this year: Houston, Kansas City, Baltimore. If that doesn't wake up 29 other GMs about how to slay the dragon.
Well, I mean, like, what does Belichick do really well against the opposition, right? He takes away what they do best. That's
takes
his
away what they do
number
best,
one strategy. But it, you can't take away all of it with those guys. That's the problem.
So you stop Lamar from running. And the kid's going to throw 5 touchdown passes. To who? You're a professional media guy. You know who the receivers are. I bet you get 100 callers without people looking. Nobody can name a Baltimore receiver other than Marquise Hollywood Brown and maybe Andrews from fantasy football. I couldn't name it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what's funny. Everyone was just telling me how talented all the players around them are. I think they might look a little better because of who they're playing with, too.
Yeah, it's not like, look, the kid's amazing. The kid is amazing. And, you know, I'm a Lions fan. I don't have a dog in this fight. You know, the choice between the two. But this kid, and there's 32 GMs and 32 pro directors of scouting that really need to look at themselves and stop with the 1970s old white guy, like, hey, let me look at this quarterback. We want a 6'4", immobile statue, pocket quarterback. It's not happening. The only three teams that have beaten New England this year don't have.
And I think that has happened, Jeff. You referenced it, Trubisky and Allen and Jones. I mean, even look at Joe Burrow now. I mean, Joe Burrow is a running quarterback, right? A mobile quarterback. That's the way it is. I think the traditional pocket passer is almost extinct. Jared in Dallas, Pennsylvania. Jared, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
So I think the whole, first of all, I think people need to stop mentioning the whole five touchdown thing. Can we remember if it was against the Jets? That's first of all, okay? So second of all, I think there's two questions within really this question of Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. And I think it's who would you take now and who would you take in the future? For me, now I would take Lamar Jackson because I think he's healthy. He's on fire. He's a stud on the field. He's a stud off the field. I just think he's a superstar, and he's amazing to watch, and he's fun to watch. In the future, I would take Patrick Mahomes, and here's the reason why. As a Redskins fan, the reason why is RG3. I think just specifically just talking about odds alone, the odds of a running quarterback getting injured over someone who stays in the pocket more obviously are going to be higher. You're going to get hit more often. And injuries are going to happen. So I hope it's not the case. I mean, I hope Lamar Jackson has a healthy 15-year career and just puts up amazing numbers because he's fun to watch. But I think it's almost like it's a matter of time before, you know, there's an MCL or LCL or something else. And I think when you look at – if you take his legs away and I think you match up the arms, I think Patrick Mahomes is far above accuracy and everything else than what Lamar Jackson brings on the field.
Oh, I would agree with that, except for Lamar Jackson's improved so much with his arm. And then again, I made this point several times. Yes, it does feel that way, right? Like Mahomes would stay healthier. But Mahomes is the one who's been hurt, not Jackson. So the evidence we have in front of us so far, the actual evidence, I would agree on those odds, but the actual evidence has said otherwise. All right, that was a fun discussion. Obviously, it could go either way, and it shall be had again. But Anthony, can you mark this down? When everyone else starts asking that question and talking about it, can we give me the rightful credit? Because you know it's going to come. And sometimes being ahead of the curve doesn't pay because people like don't remember that it was, you know. But when that becomes a ubiquitous conversation, I'm sure someone else in the universe has brought it up before. But I kind of brought it up in the mainstream first. I just want to, like, you know, just want to. Would you agree with that or no? Would you disagree? You know, he doesn't like to give me credit. There's something about my personality where people don't like to do that.
No, I love giving you credit. That's not true. But I will. But if we're being completely honest here, this was something actually 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
I saw. Did come up on ESPN.
A poll or something?
I believe it might have been. Was it on First Take? No, I don't think it was on First. Actually, check that. It was on Pro Football Talk.
Pro Football Talk.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, they'll give a hat tip to Pro Football Talk, but I'm going to take credit for it. Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
Let's talk about this Patriots thing for a second. Are the Patriots cheaters? It says on my sheet here. Well, of course the Patriots are cheaters. I mean, they've cheated in the past. Therefore, they're cheaters. But they're also great. I mean, when I say that, it's with acknowledgement that it's the greatest dynasty I've ever seen, and Belichick's the best coach ever, and Brady the best quarterback ever. In this instance, are the Patriots cheaters? I don't know. But here's the thing. They don't get the benefit of the doubt. If this were any other team, and I've seen people make this point, if this were any other team, it wouldn't be a story. Agreed. If this were any other team, it wouldn't be a story. But any other team doesn't have multiple cheating scandals like the New England Patriots do. So that's why it's a story. And when you see the Patriots and what they, you know, have said here as their defense, it makes sense on the surface, does it not? Yes, it makes sense on the surface. The Patriots were essentially filming for, the film crew that was there was filming for a documentary series entitled Do Your Job. And so is it reasonable that that is what happened? Yes, it's reasonable. The problem is, in instances in the past, that was one of the excuses that the Patriots gave. I mean, according to reporting, they literally gave the film crews that were spying in the past or attempting to a backstory. If you're caught, here's what you say. You know, you were doing it for a team show or something like that. So if that was a ready-made excuse in the past, then of course I'm going to be skeptical of it now, even if it makes sense on the surface. Apparently, the video had some focus on the Bengals sidelines for 8 minutes or something. I don't know. I mean, there's also, why would the Patriots need to cheat to beat the Bengals? Well, they don't. Of course they don't. But to me, when you say, why would they need to do it to beat the Bengals, you're forgetting the idea or throwing out the assumption that they might just do it all the time. It doesn't matter who they're playing or whatever. If they have the opportunity, they do it. You know, they've displayed that in the past. They're ruthless in a sense. So they don't care about the ramifications or the consequences, and they've gotten away with it. Remember, I'm not saying they did anything wrong in this instance. I don't know. I think the tape will probably show. Clearly that exists. We'll see what the NFL says, even if they're saying right now they're inclined to believe that it wasn't an instance of spying on an opponent to gain an advantage. I don't know. But I do know their benefit of the doubt is gone. It's gone. You know, Bill Belichick, the way I always say it is, he's the greatest coach ever, but I wouldn't trust him to run the bank in a game of Monopoly. Would you? You turn your head for a second, Bill Belichick's giving himself a couple $100. You know, not when he's pass and go, it's not 200, it's like 600 or something, sliding some of them joints into his stack in Monopoly. If Bill Belichick was a professional wrestler, he would absolutely put his feet on the ropes to secure the pin. He would do it. He would distract a referee so that he could hit you with a chair. We all know this to be true. So it doesn't take away from their greatness to me, really. You know, remember the Deflategate thing with the Colts? It was like, well, it doesn't matter what kind of ball they were using, they would have beat the Colts. True. Doesn't mean they didn't cheat. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. I mean, Tom Brady destroyed his phone. The NFL destroyed the Spygate tapes. Brady was texting someone referred to as the deflator. You know, did he do it? I wonder. And then when he said he destroys his phone every 2 weeks, is that what he says? Something ridiculous like that. So I don't know if the Patriots did anything wrong here. But I do know I don't believe anything they say. You know, like, again, they had the ready-made excuses before. People were told, if you're caught, say it was for a team show. So when someone's saying it for a team show, I'm not going to just blindly go, oh, yeah, that was clearly for a team show. And it isn't that big a deal. It wouldn't be that big a deal, except for it's them. Except for it's them. And they'll never be fully separated from that. I mean, I think they're mostly separated from it. Most people acknowledge their greatness. It's undeniable. But there has to be at least the but. That's it. I'm not saying an asterisk or anything like that, but a but. Yeah, the Patriots are great. Greatest dynasty I've ever seen. Best coach I've ever seen. Best quarterback I've ever seen. But, you know, got to acknowledge they're cheaters. Just that's it. Just got to throw it in. Just got to, you know, tell the truth. And I don't know if they've cheated in this instance, but I do know they've cheated before. or whatever you want to call it. If you don't want to call it shady, bend the rules. Been shady. I'll just say it was cheating. Tell him it's for a team show. Very well could have been for a team show, but then you shouldn't have used that excuse in the past. Again, that's all I'm saying. Patriots have no benefit of the doubt. I'm not mad about this. It very well could be an innocent explanation, but I 100% don't believe anything they say at face value.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
Pat's got in trouble again. Yeah, more cheating from the Patriots. Nice. Like, I don't know. But could be. Could be innocent. Could be more chicanery, you know, for the Patriots, who have, let's say, done whatever it takes over the years. 855-212-4227. Add Robin Lundberg on Twitter. Let's go to JJ in Florida. JJ, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, JJ?
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man. So, like I was telling your producer, it's Belichick doesn't get to where he's at without gathering information. And Zach Taylor being a first-time, first-year head coach, communicating with his players from the sideline, he takes that opportunity to gather the information on how they communicate. So when the Bengals go ahead and select Joe Burrow's first overall next year in the draft, he's got a little bit of leeway into, you know, how they communicate.
Well, yes, but that would be cheating, would it not?
Well, it's only cheating if you get caught, right?
No, it's cheating no matter what.
And
they did get caught. Well, and I don't know if they were cheating in this instance. But, yes, if what you're describing was the case, which would be another reason, you know, I had people say, well, you know, if it just, it's the Bengals, so why would he need to do it? One, that's assuming he doesn't do it all the time. And then, two, you know, he's smart enough where he could be forward-thinking in right. How he's doing it. But, yeah,
well,
if they're sending people undercover, essentially, right? They're getting people credentialed and undercover so that they can film the sideline. That is cheating. If it's just for the show, that's different. But what makes me skeptical about it is that they did have those excuses ready in the past for anybody that got caught to say that they were working on a team show.
This is very true. I'm a Steeler fan, by the way, so I don't care either way. You know, so right. But great show, man. Listen to you every Saturday driving to work, man. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it. The Steelers, they could use some cheating against the Patriots. That's the one team they've actually had some problems with otherwise. Mike Tomlin's coach of the year in my mind, I think. Shep, you were like hating on Mike Tomlin for no reason the other day. I forget why. It was a stupid reason. But you were hating on him.
It was the Rudolph fiasco.
Oh, yeah. You blamed him somehow for the Rudolph fiasco. Which I can't even comprehend. But
if they need it, Robin, that situation doesn't unfold the way it does, and we know that Garrett's still playing. And the mess that was that night in the NFL doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, it's probably good it happened for the Steelers. It's probably a positive.
That's a good point, too.
Yeah, it probably expedited Mason Rudolph's benching, and he's a bum. So, you know, like, they needed to move to a different quarterback. But I think that he's the coach of the year, in my mind, considering down Roethlisberger, no more Antonio Brown, no more Le'Veon Bell, started the year 0-3, and they're 8-5. Going to make the playoffs, likely. Likely to make the playoffs again this season. I mean, never had a losing season. Probably the most underrated coach there is. I think that he's probably the most, I'm trying to think of the most underrated people in sports I can think of. Mike Tomlin's got to be the most underrated coach. Jimmy Butler, I think, is the most underrated player. He's a guy who has so much influence, I think, on wins and losses, doesn't get enough credit for it. I mean, Philly misses him as a creator, and look what's happening in Miami. Minnesota was, battling in the playoffs when he was there, and now they're struggling. But Mike Tomlin is a coach, just a difference maker. He's a difference maker. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Derek in Green Bay. Derek, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Derek?
Good morning. First off, I want to thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I'm a long-time listener. I enjoy your show. Listen to you guys every Saturday morning.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
I want to just kind of say that I do agree with you. I think that Mike Tomlin should be, if not the coach of the year, he should finish in the top three when it comes down to those coach of the year rankings. I think along with So it's hard for me to say it. I think Matt LaFleur should also get some recognition, as well as John Harbaugh out of Baltimore. But I just wanted to quickly give my prediction on who I think going to be the final six teams in the playoffs and who's going to be representing the teams in the AFC NFC Championship game. I do think Green Bay is going to win the NFC North. I think Dallas is going to win that dumpster fire at the NFC East. The Saints have already clinched, as we know, in the South, and San Fran already clinched the West, or will be. And I think the two wildcard teams are going to be Seattle and Minnesota. I was hoping that my Chicago Bears could find a way to get that last spot, but I just don't see it. I think it's too late with Trubisky finally coming around and playing some good football.
Yeah, the Bears, it's a kind of a bummer for them because they look really good right now, right? And it's just maybe too far behind. Now, who would the Bears have to pass? They'd have to pass Minnesota, essentially, right? Because let's say San Francisco and Seattle are in, New Orleans is in, that's three, plus the NFC East winner and the North winner. So, yeah, that's who the Bears would have to pass is the Vikings, right?
Yeah, I think because Seattle has the five spot, Minnesota has the six, so Minnesota would have to lose a couple games and also have to pass the Rams. So the Rams are 8-5, and the Rams already have the head-to-head tiebreaker over them.
Yeah, the Rams and the Vikings, because, yeah, the Rams are at 8-5, and the Vikings at 9-4, and the Bears at 7-6. It's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough.
But they're playing well right now. I don't know if that is solace for the season overall. They've won four of the last five games. You mentioned they did lose to the Rams. They're at Green Bay versus Kansas City and at Minnesota. Let's just say if the Bears make the playoffs, they earned it. they will have earned it if they make the playoffs. And I'll make this prediction. Here's a prediction for you. If the Bears beat the Packers, the Chiefs, and the Vikings, they win all three of those games, they will make the playoffs. They'll make the playoffs. But I also predict they won't win all three of those games. So I will make a prediction and then undercut the prediction at the same time so that no matter what, I'm right. Jason in Chicago. Jason, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Robin. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, just got a comment/question, then I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
You know, I'm trying to figure this out. You look at other sports, you look at baseball, especially just because that's been the most kind of publicized cheating scandal. We look at that, we look at those players, and we'd say dirty. You know, it went to Congress. These guys are criminals almost. And then you look at the Patriots, and for some reason, I look at them, and cheating, yes, but it almost heightens the greatness of Belichick and the Patriots for some reason. You know, it's not strictly cheating. It's almost like they're just better at what they do than everyone else.
I think they are better than what they do than everyone else, but it's not because of the cheating. I don't admire that aspect of it. I mean, I think that's part of what, you know, I guess you could say in a sense there's a competitiveness, a ruthlessness to it. A strategy to it, and that's why they're better than everyone else. But I think the reason the cheating with them isn't the A story is just because there's no way to ignore what they've done, right? So, like, if they had won one Super Bowl, you could say, hey, they won it because they cheated. But because they've been so good for so long and so dominant in this phase of it, where they've been to four of the last five Super Bowls, winning three of them, there's just nothing you can say that doesn't make that impressive. So I don't think it's that the cheating is looked upon in a flowery sense. I think it's just sort of forgotten about because you can't really use it as the cause and effect. At the same time, if there's another scandal with them, I mean, how many scandals can you have? How many cheating scandals can you have before it does legitimately, you know, undercut your accomplishments?
I don't know. We'll find out. It just doesn't seem like anything they do to this point. It never seems like the cheating is serious enough that they can really get docked in the public's view. Even the NFL. Yeah, Goodell was after Brady, but that was more just to prove a point that he
but
was
but it's essentially the same thing as the Astros, right?
I mean, yeah, exactly.
It's essentially the same thing where you're trying to get an advantage by figuring out the communication system of the other team.
And And when you bring up the Astros, is there any fallout possible for the Astros?
Yes, from MLB. We'll see. It's different because more people care about the Patriots and the NFL being a bigger deal. I think there are some baseball fans, real fans, who are upset about the Astros thing. But MLB is going to come down on the Astros, I think, pretty hard, actually. And that will be the fall. We'll see what they take from them aside from fines and penalties. Same thing with the NFL, though. The NFL has to, if this is true, even if it's innocent, I think there's going to be a fine from the NFL because the rules were broken regardless. But the NFL needs to come down hard if it's legitimate. This is the problem the NFL faces. The Patriots are so synonymous with the NFL right now and success over this long period of time. They're the dominant franchise in the history of the sport. So the NFL really doesn't want that to be marred by anything. They don't want, a scandal to be attached to that. So therefore, if they could sweep this under the rug, I'm sure they would. And no matter what anybody says about Spygate, the idea that the tapes were destroyed is just the kind of thing that makes me very, very skeptical that it wasn't even more serious than we initially thought. Right? Because there was when the Spygate thing happened, there was that initial report. I forget what paper it was. I think it might have been the Boston Globe or somebody reported that they filmed the Rams walkthrough. And that was never corroborated. So that became the narrative, which is much worse than what the Spygate we know is. Watching team signals and whatnot. But the idea that the tapes were destroyed, nothing makes you look guiltier than destroying the evidence. Right? Nothing. So this is conspiracy theorying it now because they say that it's the right thing to do. But where does my brain go? My brain goes to, this was really bad. And the NFL didn't want that on their brand. Not that they were like trying to protect Robert Kraft but they didn't want a massive underhanded cheating scandal attached to a franchise that was winning Super Bowls. They didn't want that. Again, that's a conspiracy theory, but you don't look innocent. It doesn't look innocent when you destroy the evidence. What looks innocent? Here's the evidence. See it. Look at it. Judge for yourself. That's transparency. There's a couple ways to handle it. Or, if you're following current events, you just tell the opposite of the truth all the time, over and over again, and hope you create an alternate reality. That's a strategy that can be employed as well.
And Aaron, do you remember back in, it was week 4 when the Patriots, they visited the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, and they got shooed off the sideline,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, McDermott shooed off a couple of the Patriots staffers off the field. They were watching the end of Bills warm-ups, and I mean, McDermott, he was not happy, clearly, in the video. So, I mean, if he had a problem with it, clearly, so.
Look, they don't get any benefit of the doubt. That's the way it works. No benefit of the doubt. And Brady, when the Brady thing went down, people were all, like, up in arms defending him. I didn't defend him. I mean, do I think it was a huge deal? Do I think it altered the fortunes of the league? No. But he did it. people would like to bring up the Aaron Rodgers. Well, Aaron Rodgers said he liked the balls a certain way. Yes, he does. But he doesn't wait for them to be approved and then have people slink off into a bathroom and deflate them. I don't know if it made a difference in wins and losses, but it certainly made him more comfortable, right? And if he didn't think it helped him, he wouldn't do it. Just like destroying the evidence. If it was so innocent, you wouldn't destroy the tapes. If you didn't think it helped you, you wouldn't do it. Unless it's just like some compulsive behavior. I must cheat. So I mean, there's some nuance there. Again, I'm not even trying to undercut their greatness. I will say it over and over. The Patriots are the best team I've ever seen. Belichick, best coach. Brady, best quarterback. Still cheaters. They have. That's just the truth. You can take that process it how you want. I also don't think they're the most likable guys in the world. But, you know, doesn't make them less accomplished or any less great. And you see what people always talk about the Patriots way as if it's humble and pure. It is not. It is ruthless. They don't give a damn about nothing except for winning games. If the Patriots signed Antonio Brown, that means it's okay. No, it doesn't. They just wanted a really good wide receiver. And Aaron Hernandez on their team. They've got all sorts of PED scandals. Julian Edelman was hit for PEDs at the beginning of last year. Working with the same dude Tom Brady works with and in the weirdo Brady TB40, whatever method it's called. TB12. I don't know why I said 40. He's over 40 now.
There you go. Yeah.
Some age thing. It's a TB12 client. You know, nobody cares about PEDs in the NFL anyway. But the idea that the Patriots run some pure operation, no. The Patriots run a let's win football games operation. And that's the sole focus. Anything that hurts that focus, they don't like. Anything that helps that focus, they do like, even if it goes beyond the rules. Got to give you my NFL picks for the week. Also want to talk about the Lakers really quickly off that big win over Miami last night. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.